So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So, anyway, Book of Genesis, chapter 39. Steve, pastor.
All right, if you turn there and you're ready, say amen. All right, that sounds like most of you. See, we're going to roll. Genesis 39, starting in verse 1. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome, as Pastor said, like Pastor Cash, in form and appearance. And everybody said, amen.
Come on, give the Lord praise in the house for the reading of his word. Now, I went over it Sunday again. For those of you who have been following along, we talked about that Joseph found favor even in the most difficult times. It's easy to find favor when things are going right, but can you still believe and declare that you're under favor even when things are not going your way? And then we talked about that sometimes to find favor with those who matter, you have to be willing to sacrifice favor with those who don't matter. Now, that's kind of ugly to say. Y'all know how my mind works. Those of you who go here, y'all know that I go squirrel, and I see things and stuff. So as I was doing that, let me just say, and I'm really going to get it after service, I'm sure. But let me just say, Melissa Gonzalez, what a joy you are. But she filled 600 bags of candy herself. I don't know if she made her kids help her or not. I don't know, but she did that. She's always behind the scenes doing such a phenomenal job. I asked if I could come over. She said, no, Pastor, you would eat all of it. And I said, whatever. And, she speaks truth. But anyway, thank you so much, man. She just works so tirelessly behind the scenes. So thank you so much. Always good to have Dr. Tim Hines in the house, our evangelist, and is on the road most of the time, but he's home. Come on, give it up for Dr. Tim tonight. Amen. All right, now let me just help some of you before I go on. I know that six of you are going to come up to me after service and tell me a remedy for my voice. I already know all the remedies. Amen. Unless you got one like that was stuck in ancient Egypt times, I know all of them. Sometimes to find favor with those who matter, you will have to sacrifice favor with those who don't. But we need the favor that matters. Because, church, sometimes to find favor, you just got to know who your favor is with, and you can't get the favor of everybody. Not everybody's going to like you. Everybody can't be cool. So everybody is not going to like you. I used to think that everybody ought to come to our church. And now I've been here 24 years, and I'm thankful that some people don't come to our church. Amen. I used to say, everybody who comes to this church is a blessing. Some when they come and others when they leave. But everybody is a blessing. Hallelujah. Jesus, help me. Honey, am I under medication? I didn't think so. Yeah, I'm just going to say I am. Because I don't think I am. Anyway, favor means acceptance and goodwill. Point number two was this, that God can and will provide favor for you no matter how unfavorable your circumstances are and may be. And Joseph said, or the Bible said about Joseph in Genesis 39 and 2, that he was a successful man. And I want you to grab a hold of that, that you can be successful in whatever you do. You just got to recognize, you got to be present where you are. That he was successful, even as a slave, he was successful. No matter how unfavorable and every situation he found himself in, he was success. So quit trying to blame it on other people and other reasons why you can't be. Understand, I can be successful where I am, not because of where I am, but because of whose I am. So he had less than optimum circumstances, yet he still succeeded. And I think one of the greatest points of this whole sermon is this, is what I'm about to make, is this, that the key to your next level is this level. That everybody keeps looking for the down the street, and everybody keeps looking over their shoulder for the next opportunity. One of the men I love to read by the name of John Mason, he says, your best opportunity is where you are, not where you're going to be. You got to make the most of where you are. You know, one guy said, and I think he must have been a poker player, he said, life is not about the cards, life is not about having a good hand. Life is about playing the cards that you're dealt well. Because there are plenty of people who have been dealt a bad hand. We can sit around all night, talk about who had it worse as a child or bringing up or coming up. And by the time we left here, we'd be ready for a suicide watch line. But you got to recognize that everybody's got issues and had issues. But you made it through and you are where you are today. And bless God, just because that you're at a situation doesn't mean that you got to stay there. Because God can, he will, and he will bring you through whatever it is that you are presently at. Just understand that I'm going to succeed where I'm at. I'm going to succeed even in the house of limitation. If I'm going to be in the joint, I'm going to run the joint. I promise you, I'm going to be the pod boss. If I'm in there, I'm going to rise up. Hallelujah. The Bible said succeed where you are was our third point. Succeed where you are. And then we talked about something very important to understand is that you got to succeed where you are if you ever hope to get to where you're going. And the problem is that we've gotten to a place that everybody gets a trophy. And do you know what? Baseball didn't used to cost as much as it does to play because they only had to buy one team trophy. I mean, come on, remember that? Anybody remember that? Am I too old? I mean, out of 18 teams, only one team got a trophy. That was the champ. But now even the chumps get a trophy. Even those who ride the bench. Even those who didn't try. And what you don't understand, or maybe you do, but what many don't understand is when we reward everybody for average, then it costs everybody more. My God, come on, somebody. So we've got to come to the understanding that God didn't call you just to be ordinary or average. He called you to be extraordinary. Can I go ahead and just meddle a moment? You see, when you have that type of a mentality, you have an entitlement mentality that everybody owes you something, that you ain't got to spell the words correctly to get an A on the test. That you don't have to finish college, you ought to just get a degree because everybody else got one. Good preaching, Pastor. That you know, that you shouldn't have to work. You should get what everybody else got that did work. Better get your lazy behind off the couch and go to work. Let me move on before I get upset. Joseph was successful where he is. And then this past Sunday, I took 2 points out of this that to give you a few keys to finding favor where you are. Because some people don't know how to find favor where you are. And we dealt with number one, understand the necessity of flexibility. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall bend when they are, or they shall not break when they are bent. Now that's not a beatitude. Some of y'all think that's the gospel. No, it's not in there. It's like my dad-in-law used to say, well, you know what the Bible says, the Lord helps those who help themselves. I said, that is not in the Bible. And we get stuff from people and think it ought, now I think it ought to be in the Bible. But I tell you this, that understand that you need to be flexible. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about flexible in your morals. But I'm talking about if you want to get to your dream, if you want to succeed, if you want to see the fruition of your dream come to pass, it might not come the way that you want it to come, through the means by which you wanted it to come, in the time manner in which you wanted it to come. But if it's from God, though it tarry, wait for it. For it shall surely come to pass. So we understand that. That sometimes the greatest ability is flexibility. And if you're not willing to bend, go ahead and get prepared, because you're going to break. And there's so many folks that we got in the body of Christ who are broke because they didn't understand. I'm not talking about money, monetarily, but you broke because you were not flexible. Inflexibility has its foundation in pride. Pride goes before destruction, and destruction before a fall. God will let you fall into destruction before he lets you fall. But some folks are so pig-headed, they'll go through destruction and still fall. Being flexible. Let me get a little bit further on in this thing. Number two, we talked about that be motivated by faith rather than by fear. If you're going to find success where you are, be motivated by faith rather than imprisoned by fear. Because fear is one of the dream killers. I'm going to hit this real quick or I'll preach again. Here's what fear does to you. Number one, fear paralyzes a person in their problem. Number two, fear will cause you to become comfortable and accepting the status quo. Can I tell you that you can get comfortable in anything? Some people get comfortable with pain. Some people get comfortable with turmoil. Some people get comfortable living a Jerry Springer lifestyle. Some people get comfortable in the status quo. Status quo is Latin for the mess we're in. The favor of God released in your life is not for the average. In order to break the status quo off your life, you got to realize your dream, and realize your dream, it is going to be required for you to take some initiative right where you are. Quit waiting for everything to be right before you begin to move. If Joseph would have done that, he'd have never moved. Your success is often wrapped up in failure. But failure is not final. Failure, you just figured out another way not to do it. So let me get to where I want to go tonight. Fear causes you to resist change. You don't want to change nothing. You're afraid. But the Bible says in James, that God has given every man a measure of faith. And that measure means, that the Greek word means metron, and it means the required measure, what is due and perfect portion. That for you to do what God's called you to do, you're going to need all the faith that you have, but you have all that you need. You have all that you need, but you're going to need all that you have. I want you to hear that. You're going to need, or you have all that you need. God has given it to you, because God would never give you a dream that he was not willing to help you perform to make it come to pass. God is not a God that says, well, I know you can't do this, but I'm going to give you the dream anyway. No, what he says is, I know that you can't do it in your present state, but by the time I take you through what I need to take you through, you're going to be in a different form than you were when you started. And when you get through this other side, you're going to be something completely different than you were on the other side. And when you get to this side, you're going to be more than able to conquer what I've given you in your life. And when you get to this side, you're going to stand up and proclaim and declare the works of God, and people are going to be blessed, and you're going to be blessed, and your family is going to be blessed, and the kingdom of God is going to be blessed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God has given you that measure of faith. True favor of God will give you confidence to rise above your fears. Now, here we go. Number three. Get over what's over. Boy, that's deep, ain't it? Get over. Baby, it's time to get over it. Get over what's over. Some people still lamenting over stuff that happened 15 years ago. You still upset because somebody who walked out on you. Well, baby, they ain't coming back. So move on. What's over is over. You know, unless God told you it ain't over. All right? But some folks say, well, God ain't said it, but I'm still saying it. I mean, I've seen marriages put back together. I've seen relationships put back together. So I'm not saying that. But if God didn't told you it's over, get over it. The problem is you need to get over being hurt. You need to get over being a victim. You need to get over what's already over. Part of your breakthrough is learning how to get through. Somebody hear me. Part of your breakthrough is learning how to get through. And some people can't understand your breakthrough if they don't know you've been through. If they don't know what you've been through, they don't understand your breakthrough. Because when you, my God, when you break through like I broke through, when you break through some things, you just can't sit there on like a bump on a pickle and act like God ain't ever done nothing in your life. You got to realize that I am who I am by the grace and the mercy of God. If it had not been for God on my side, I would not have gotten through. But because He is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God, somebody hear me. Learn. Part of your breakthrough is learning how to get through. Some of you'd stop because of what happened. You've got to learn how to get through. Bless God. You might not be skipping through the streets, but are you making it? I might not be running, but I'll crawl if I have to. But I'm going to get through whatever it is that I'm in because I know where I'm at. It's not always where I'm going to be because God has called me up and out. God has called me to walk through. God has called me to overcome. My God, you must never allow the past to become shackles to hold you from your future. Well, I can't do this because of that. No, no, no. All things have been made new. All things have been made new. Glory to God. It pays to move on. This is a lesson that I'm constantly learning. My God, if I wouldn't lament over everybody who's been through this church, people I've helped, people I've helped move, and people I've gave money to, and people I've stayed up at night, people that I've prayed through. If I were to stay there and lament over because they're gone, then I would never be no help for anybody else. But baby, I got to understand that some things are over, and I just have to wash my hand and go on because God's got new things for you. He's got new things for me, and I just got to get over. Let whatever go, whatever is over, let it be over. Boy, it's freeing. Let it be over for others. Let it be over for yourself. Because understand this, I think I have this, that when you live in the bitterness of then, you miss the blessing of now and forfeit the breakthrough of what's next. My God, somebody hear me. Yeah, I want you to get it. When you live in the bitterness of then, you miss the blessing of now and you forfeit the breakthrough of what's next. I got news for you. Where you're at, there's a next, my God. Look at somebody and tell them, I got a next. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I know I've got a next. It might be next day, it might be next week, it might be next month or next year, but I've got a next, and I feel a next anointing coming in my life, and I don't know what's next, but I know that God is in my life, and whatever is next is going to be better than where I am. My God, so many people are stopped back where it was. You can't enjoy where you're at because you still living of what was. You still living on back then. But what about now? You see, what has happened is what happened to you then is trying to steal your tomorrow. But the devil is a liar. My tomorrow is bright. My now is coming to fruition. It is not going to take what... Can I just say it like I feel it? That sucker back then done took enough from you, so you just dust off your feet, stomp your feet, and say, I'm over what happened then. I'm going to enjoy now, getting ready for my next. My God. Part of my breakthrough is learning how to get through. Get through the hurt. I'm not discounting it, but get through it. Get through with the beating yourself up over past failures. Get through with looking back. Get through with regret. The greatest revenge that you can exact on regret is moving forward onto your dream. My first pastorate, I've told this story before, but my first pastorate, my closest confidant in the church, left us. He just so happened to be the biggest tither in the church. Now, that was no correlation. I didn't befriend him because he was the biggest tither. I befriended him because he befriended me. I befriended him because we had likes and so forth and so on. But when he left, he walked into my office and he quit and he said, I'm leaving. And it was stupid, but it was because I wouldn't turn a lady out of the church that he didn't like. They had some dealings and it was outside of church and he wanted me to turn her out. And I said, I ain't going to do it. He said, well, then I'm leaving. I said, I hate it. He said, she's not even a tither. I go, it doesn't matter that she's not a tither. She didn't do anything wrong, and I got to stand for what is right. And she didn't do anything wrong in this instant, and I can't ask her and won't ask her to leave. Have you asked people to leave before, Pastor? Yep. Will you do it again? I'm sure. But I wouldn't ask her. And so he walked out. And then his wife turned and said this to me. You'll never survive without our tithe. Well, they just thought they knew me. Oh, no, you didn't. You know, what I wanted to do was just jack slap somebody. I wanted to bow up, beat somebody down. I didn't do it, though. But when she said that to me, something on the inside of me clicked. I snapped in the spirit. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever snapped in the spirit? By God, I snapped in the spirit. Oh, you don't think I'll make it? By God, you ain't my source. You ain't my joy. I love you, but I don't love you enough to go to hell. I don't love you enough to let you stay in my life. I don't love you enough for you to keep my joy. My joy is not in you. My joy is in Jesus. My joy is in the strength of the Lord. And I love you, but not enough to let you make me miserable. Shoot, I'm not married to you. Why'd you throw that in there? Because if you're miserable and married, you're going to stay married for a while. I'm not, though, miserable. Just looking at my wife back there. I plan on going home with you tonight, girl. Shoot. You're looking all fine. I saw you come to church. I had to come to the altar and repent a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, shoot, come on, girl. Whoa. My God, somebody holler, whoa, for me. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. So I said, I'm not going to let you keep me in bondage. And bless God, we made it. We made it. When they left, we bought a bus. We bought a parsonage. We bought a tractor. And they were, it, now, you know, don't hate, but it was a somebody called it, not a double wide, a tri wide. Triple wide. I'm tri wide, but anyway. A triple wide. They brought in there and they were setting it up. And I happened to be sitting on that tractor we done bought. And I'm sitting there watching them do it. And he pulls up. I said, I won't call your name because you might be watching. But you know who you are. I called his name. And I said, all right. He come. He said, hey, preacher. He always called me preacher. Hey, preacher. I said, hey, how you doing, bro? He said, I'm doing all right. He said, what's going on? I said, oh, they're just putting in a triple wide. He goes, wow. He says, is that the churches? I said, yes, it is. Patted my little tractor. I go, see this tractor? It's the churches too. I said, you see that bus over there? It's the churches too. I said, God's good, ain't he? Now that's what I did. In my mind, I'm saying, take that, sucker. Take that. You want some? I will go off what you want. That's what I was doing in my mind. Because I was saying, you thought that you had me. You thought that I was going to stay trapped back there where you are. But baby, you can stay back there if you want to. But I'm going to step through and move on. Because my breakthrough is learning how to get through. And you just taught me a lesson how I can get through. That people may fail you, but God will never fail you. He will always be with you. And if you hang on to his unchanging hand, he will bring you through. Let all the people you have imprisoned in the cage of your mind go free. When you set them free, it'll set you free. You don't know what they did to me. Let them go free. I went back and preached at a church there where I was the associate pastor. It was about 10 years later. This man by the name of Frank, I won't give his last name, came up to me. I preached that night. We had a good service. He came up to me and said, Brother Ronnie, I need to talk to you. That always gets me nervous. Especially after I'm tired. Because y'all think I don't have a filter when I preach. When I'm tired, it goes even less. And I go, what can I do for you? He said, I just want to ask you to forgive me. I said, okay. For what? He said, I've had aught against you for 10 years. Matter of fact, I've hated you. I was like, wow. I was like, he said, I've lost sleep over you. I've been upset with you. I couldn't understand how God would bless you. And I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I said, first of all, why did you was upset? And what he was upset about was, I was like, no. He thought we hit his wife or something. You remember that? You remember that years ago? He thought we hit his wife. I go, no, she never came to see us, bro. Really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm sorry that you've lost sleep and that you've held a grudge and that you've hated me. And I don't know how to tell you this, but I haven't lost one moment's sleep over you. And didn't even know you was even upset with me. Are you listening to me? Now, some of us are holding people in prison, and they done went on with their life. And you upset because they moving on. You upset because they've done learned to get through what they've been through. They done learned to get over what's over, and you still lamenting over here, letting them keep you in bondage. At some point in time, you just got to say, bless God, I recognize that the bitterness of then is not going to hold me. I'm going to enjoy now, and I'm going to move forward for tomorrow. Joseph had to get over what was over to move forward, because he did, his dreams came true. Get over what's over. Your dream is intact, and the best is yet to come. I want you to think about Joseph in the pit. He had favor, but now he's in the pit. He walked around as the dog, the big dog, but then lost it, but come back. Got it again. Lost it. Come back. I mean, Joseph was the king of the comeback. My Lord, look at somebody and say, I feel a comeback anointing coming on me. Hallelujah. All right, number four. Turn your obstacles into opportunities. Turn your obstacles into opportunities. Everybody's got problems. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows. Yeah, they do. You act like you're the only one ever had trouble. You know, you act like you're the only one. It's the worst one they ever saw. Oh, you ain't seen my trouble. My trouble's the worst I ever saw. Oh, I beg to differ. One of the greatest keys to surviving the obstacles that rise up and try to kill your dreams is to view them differently. Begin to see your obstacles as opportunities. That your obstacle is just a problem waiting to get solved. There will always be obstacles to contend with as you pursue your God-given dreams. But the problem is we think that if God gave us a dream, it's going to be a tiptoe to the tulips. That angels are going to be singing as we walk into our destiny. Oh, they're going to be singing. You know what they're going to be singing? They're going to be singing a song that I wrote. I've heard four other people say they wrote this song, but they a liar. I'm going to sing a few bars of it for you. It goes like this. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, hold on. First verse says, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Then there's a bridge. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. And then it kicks into another gear. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Yeah. That's what they're singing. They're singing, don't give up. They're singing, just look at it a little differently. When you see this, there will always be obstacles to contend with. But when you do this, you're on the path to success when you see obstacles as opportunities. Can I tell you, promotion comes when you figure out a problem and solve it. Everybody can see the problem. Well, there was a truck. They were moving this big something. I don't know if it was a house or what. True story. They were trying to move it, and the bridge was too low, just low enough that they couldn't get up under it. And they tried to figure out there was no way to get around it. They had to go through it. So that everybody figured out how to do it. Well, we could take it off this trailer and put it on a low boy, and we could try to get it through. And everybody was trying to figure out how to do it. And a little boy sitting over there, listening to all of it. He walked over to him and said, "Why don't you just let some of the air out of the tires? Roll it through and then air the tires back up." The engineers looked at each other perplexed. And guess what they did? They let the air out of the tires, rolled it through there, and aired it back up. because he's seen it from a different perspective. A real key to begin to see your obstacles is to see them the way that God sees them. God doesn't see them as stop signs. He sees them as a way to build your faith, as a way to cause you to increase. Many in the Bible did, because they saw great dreams manifest. The children of Israel looked at the Red Sea through the eyes of fear. But then Moses looked at it, and they saw an obstacle, but Moses saw an opportunity, and they walked across on dry ground. Obstacles move when you see them as opportunities. Well, hallelujah. When the Israelite army saw the champion of the Philistines named Goliath, they viewed the giant obstacle. But a young teenager saw a giant opportunity. David won an indescribable victory because he looked at it through the eyes of God. He said, well, wait a minute now. He's coming against the God of Israel. He's blaspheming the God of Israel. He said, I see an opportunity here, so I know how I can really get ahead. So he killed Goliath and got ahead. Those of you who don't know the story, he cut the head off Goliath to get ahead. Giant obstacles fall, and favor release when you see them as giant opportunities. When the disciples saw Christ when he was on the cross at Golgotha, they saw a murderous obstacle, but Jesus saw a matchless opportunity. Salvation, healing, breakthrough for all of us. Miracles manifest when you see the obstacles as opportunities. Joseph was a man who had the ability to change obstacles to opportunities. Whether it was Potiphar's house, whether it was in the prison house, Joseph made the most of every moment. How many of us have lost our moment because we didn't see it correctly? Number five, never quit on your dream. Never quit on your dream. Never quit on your dream. Quitting is the ultimate dream killer. When you quit, your dream is over. No dream that was quit on ever came to pass. No dream that was quit on ever came true. When you quit on your dream, you have unleashed finality in your life. God's favor will never rest on quitters. Again, you got to recognize that quitting is a habit. When you quit, you're declaring it's over. I'm through. My dream is done. In the most intense times of your life, you got to be persuasive and then persevere and refuse to give up on what God said. Let me give you a few incentives that will inspire you not to quit your dream no matter what. Number one is this: the pain you're now in is nothing compared to the pain of quitting. You think you're in pain right now. Well, go ahead and quit on it. And then you'll live a life of what shoulda, coulda, woulda, woulda. What I coulda had, what I shoulda had, what I coulda had, but I quit on it. The one that got away, the opportunity that got away. I think to live with the pain of what might have been or what could have been exceeds the pain of quitting. If you quit on your dream, you'll always wonder, what if? What if I could have made it? My question to you is, what if, you know, you may say, but Pastor, what if the dream doesn't come to pass? Well, my question is, what if it does? What if it does? Vince Lombardi said, once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. Quitting is habitual, but my God, you get a couple of victories under your belt, and victory becomes habit forming. Ah, you let you get yourself in the victory circle, and people applaud. You're like, yeah, baby. Listen, have you ever noticed that nobody celebrates the losers? except for in Little League. Oh, you did good, baby. No, you didn't. Move on. Have you ever known, don't point at nobody, but have you ever known anybody who seemed to be addicted to quitting? You ever known people who just quit all the time? You must never let that become you. Refuse to allow your mentality to become one of a quitter. God has not called you to be a quitter. He called you to be an equipper. A God-birthed dream will require you to be addicted to trying, not quitting. Oh my God. You know, you ever... You ever see folks out in public just look like they quit trying? Just didn't brush your hair? Didn't brush your teeth? Didn't bathe? You know, you just got up. Well, I was trying to look good, but I just quit trying. This is what it is. Just quit trying. Look like my wife calls it looking like a throwaway child. Like nobody cares. And let me tell you something. If you don't care for yourself, nobody else will. My God. If you don't care for your dream, nobody else will. If you devalue yourself, nobody else is going to bring you value. But if you will know who you are in Christ, then God will help you know who you are in Him. Can you get a good amen? Trying is habit forming. Get hooked on trying. Hooked on phonics, get hooked on trying. Once you quit, your dream is dead. But as long as you're still trying, your dream is alive. Now, boy, you got to hear this. You got to hear this next one. Give it to me. Give it to me, baby. Losers quit when they are tired. Winners quit when the job is done. You think folks act like folks who won, folks who succeeded, didn't get tired. You know, listen. When I was saving for a house or my own finances, sometimes I get tired of saying no. Quit shaking your head so hard, honey. My wife's like, I know that. When we first got married, here, listen. When we first got married, because I just love her so much. I still do, but I just love her so much. She said to me, baby, you got to learn how to tell me no. And then about 3 years later, she said, baby, you got to know when to tell me yes. And then every year since then, she said, baby, you got to know when to tell me yes. Yeah, you know. But sometimes we get tired of saying no. But that's what gets us to the end of it. You know, well, you know, nobody in here, but you know I ain't got money to pay rent this month. So I might as well go to the movies. Well, and if I'm going to be at the movies, I might as well get popcorn for me and all 17 of my children. And you done spent $50 at the movie theater, and now you was 100 short for rent. Now you're 150 short for rent. And then you ate all that popcorn, and now you're thirsty, and you got to go buy a bottle of pop. Are you listening to me? And then you drink a bottle of pop, and then you say, well, we ain't got a rent, so we might as well go to Cody's. Or no, we wouldn't do that. Well, we might as well go to McDonald's. Now you done spend another $15, $20, and it just keeps because you quit. At some point in time, you've got to understand, I'm not going to quit till the job is done. I'm not going to quit till I achieve what God has set before me. I'm going to achieve it. Hey, listen, I've lost 1,000 pounds over my life. I've gained 1,200, but I lost 1,000. So I'm still to the good. But I know what I'm talking about. You get tired. You get tired. You know, I don't eat rabbits food. I eat rabbits with a little bit of bread on the side. A lot of bread on the side with a chaser of Snicker bars. But I get tired of what's that word? Denying myself. Right? And so what happens? You get tired and then you just quit. And you know what happens when you quit? Anybody who knows the diet? Then you go get 4 3-foot Snicker bars and eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're a winner, and winners get tired, but winners never quit. The enemy will be frustrated with many of you if you decide today, I'm quitting. I'm a quitting. Somebody hear me. I'm sick of quitting. I'm sick of starting stuff and quitting, and I'm gonna quit quitting. Look at somebody tell them, I'm gonna quit quitting tonight. I got 7 minutes. I got one more. That's good. We're good. I got one more that won't take me 27 minutes. Number 6. Go from dreaming to doing. Go from dreaming to doing. Now, we get in this service and, you know, we get the anointing flowing like I felt it tonight, and like maybe you felt it, and you get all hyped up. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, we're going to do it. Woo! But then you leave here, and you don't do it. I meant to do it, but I didn't do it. I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to do it enough to do it. So therefore, I didn't do it. It's amazingly important that your dreams don't die because you didn't do anything to ensure that they would come to pass. Doing nothing will kill your dream every time. God's favor requires you to act. God's favor requires you to act. It goes back to, you don't get a trophy just because you are you. Yeah, like we, you know, we get all to get a trophy up for it. I'm the best me around. You are. Great job. Because I'll be honest with you, you know, it takes some time to find out who you are sometimes. But when you get comfortable with you, I decided a long time ago I could be a cheap copy of somebody else, or I could be the original Ronnie Reed, and ain't nobody can do Ronnie Reed better than Ronnie Reed. So I just decided to be me. And you know who helped me discover who me was? Jesus. The Holy Ghost. You got to do something. Your dream will require you to do something. It's not enough to be a great dreamer, but also you got to become a great doer. Don't point at nobody, but I got some friends. They always talk about what they're going to do. Now, I'll tell you what. You know, they tell me sometimes, and I'm just like, at all. Wow. That's incredible. When you going to do it? Oh, we're going to start it next year. Like, man, I think that's amazing. That's an amazing plan. I mean, sometimes they share me with the plan. I'm like, man, that's an amazing plan. I wish I would have thought of that. Man, you ought to do that. Yeah, we're going to do that. Well, man, just tell me when you do that. I will. I'll call you and tell you that. We're doing what we said we were going to do. Oh, cool. Year later, hey, man, hey, how's that thing going that you said you were going to do? Oh, we never started doing that. Well, why not? Well, you know, and because you can always find a reason why not to do what you dream to do. I start eating right every Tuesday. No, Not only was Paul a dreamer, but he was a doer. He dreamed of making an incredible impact on the kingdom of God, and he did. He dreamed of being a part of a revival that would sweep the world, and he did. The greatest dreamers must become the greatest doers. I mean, think about Noah if he wasn't a doer. Ooh, the Lord told me to build his ark. When are you going to do it? When it starts raining. I can't remember. How many years did it take him to do it? Wasn't it 120 years or something like that? 100 years? 100 years for him to start that. And that's what we want to do. God, we're going to start it tomorrow. Well, it's raining today. Well, if I would have started when I got it, I'd be ready for it, but now I'm not. Because you didn't do something when God gave you the dream. All you did was think about it. And thinking about it's good. Thinking about it, you need to think it through. But if all you do is think, you'll never do. And the Bible said in James, be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. Yeah. Abraham was a doer. Joseph was a doer. David was a doer. Jesus was a doer. I want to be known as a doer, not a dozer. I dozed through life. Your great dream will require great action. I'm almost done. Be doers of the word. Come on, help me. I've really got a lot more. I got to give you this. The word doer comes from an incredible Greek word, poietes. It means to be a performer and a producer. Man. You know, when I'd been at this church for a year and a half, and the Church of God called me, and they wanted me to go be a youth director for the state of Minnesota. And Minnesota. Minnesota. How am I doing? Minnesota. Minnesota. And it was good. And so they called me, and I was told, I was young in the Church of God, Brother Cash, and they told me that if you ever turn something down in the Church of God, they'll never offer it to you again. I'm like, oh, okay. So I didn't want to completely shut all the doors. But I was talking to the man who wanted me to come, and I said, okay, and I was here in Crystal River, and I said, tell me, I'm going to go pray about it, but before I pray, what is the temperature there today? And they said, oh, it's warm today. It's not bad. It's only 18. I said, okay, thank you. That's what I need to know. I need to put that in the back of my mind as I pray. But I went down to the state of Florida, and I asked my overseer. I said, his name is Larry Timmerman. I said, Brother Timmerman, I got this opportunity. He said, yeah, I know, Ronnie. I told him to call you. And I said, thank you, sir. I said, I don't want to turn it down and never get anything offered again. I heard that's the way it works in the Church of God. He said, you're right. That is the way it works in the Church of God. However, that's how it works for most guys. His words are not mine. He says, but you are a producer. So you'll have many other opportunities and better than the one you're thinking about right now. I said, so you're telling me I probably shouldn't take it? He goes, yeah. I said, are you God? Right? Because that's what we want to know, right? Because then we just want God to tell us, are you God? He said, no, I'm not, but I do know him. I said, oh, my Lord, I know him too. Cool. No. So, of course, I didn't take it. But when you're a producer, I've learned Pastor Cash was in the state office, and he dealt with pastors a lot, and he would place pastors at different churches and then remove pastors from different churches and things like that. He was a big wig. Don't tell him I said that. He was a big dog. And in my opinion, he's still a big dog because he's my big dog. So anyway, but yeah, go ahead. That's cool. But I've learned that there are three types of pastors. There are caretakers, undertakers, and risk takers. Caretakers, they're just going to go there and care for everybody. It's going to be all right. They're going to get there with 100 people, and they're going to leave with 100 people. How you doing, buddy? Then the undertaker, they're going to get there with 100 people and going to leave with 10 people. And then the risk taker is going to take it to the next level. And, you know, they're that way. You're that way in your job. When you go to your job, what are you doing? Well, I'm just trying to put it in my 40. You know, some of you, if you read Facebook, it's pathetic, isn't it? I'm just trying to get to Friday. If I can ever get to Friday, just get a day off, get my weekend. That's all I'm trying to do. Well, no wonder you're not exceeding. No wonder you're not succeeding. Well, I'm just trying to put in the 40 and just go home. Doing the least that I can so I can get my paycheck, but nothing more. Because they don't appreciate it anyway. If I did it more, I wouldn't appreciate it. But I'm telling you, if you become a producer, that's where promotion is. That's where your dreams come to fruition. The graveyard is full of great dreams. And I say that because I'm sure that there have been many people who have had incredible dreams, but they died and their dreams died along with them. All because they never moved from dreaming to doing. Man, don't take your dream to the grave with you. You must act, produce, perform in order for your dreams to become a reality. I'm almost done. I got to give you this last one. It ain't the last one, but I got to. I think I got two more. What's my next one? God's dreams don't manifest by location, but by habitation. What do you mean? You're waiting for you to get to a location for it to happen. God's waiting you for to get a habitation for it to happen. Lastly. Yeah, that one there. This is what it should have been. It's impossible to experience the favor of God without the presence of God. You cannot experience the favor of God without the presence of God. Would you stand to your feet with me in this place? I'm hesitant. Yeah, we got to fix that. That's my OCD is really kicking in. Squirrel. Yorabosotorabasi. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come here, Sherry. My wife, in case you don't know who she is, I am married. Do not hold to her charge what I do. Pastor Steve, Pastor Cash, come on, why don't you just stand up? Brian, Tim, can I use you? I know you're off tonight, but can I use you? Yeah. I want to use these guys first, but here's what I feel like the Lord's telling me to do, and it's going to be a little different. Because, you know, in church, man, people are funny, but not always in the ha-ha kind of way. Because here's what I feel, so I'm going to let you choose if you want to do it or not. I feel like that we're supposed to have some business owners or that you achieved your dream of owning your own business, being your own boss. I feel like we're supposed to have you lay hands on some people who are still in the dreaming process. And if you feel comfortable with that, then I'm going to ask you to come and join the pastors up here. We want to lay hands on some people.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.